Today's parak in Tanakh is Melachim Beit, parak Yud Dalet. Bishnat Shtayim Leyoash ben Yehoahaz Melach Yisrael, Melach HaMatziah ben Yoash Melach Yehuda. So now we come to address the interrelationship between the two mamlachot as it was impacted by the breakdown in the respective malchiyot. So remember, the order was that we talked about the breakdown in the nature of Yehuda first, moved on to Yisrael, and came to recognize what had happened to Yisrael. And now, for the first time, remember that up until now, particularly through the interrelationships with Elisha, the intermarriages, both of these malchiot were very, very interrelated genetically. They were interrelated. And in terms of their commitments one to another, they would go to war often together. There were periods, as we saw earlier, especially with Yoram and Ahaziah, that they actually were viewing themselves almost as a single malchut, so that in the Yoram rebellion, he murdered all of the family of Mishpachat Yehuda that were there before Ataliah did her dirty work. At this point, because of the loss of the integration of the elements of malchut, through the loss of malchut in the people that were there, we find for the first time an actual breakdown in the relationships between the two malchiyot, and they go to war with each other. And so, Bishnat Shtayim, Leoash ben Yehoahaz Melech Yisrael, it was in the second year of Yoash, who was ruling in Yisrael, Malach Amatziah ben Yoash Melech Yehuda. Amatziah, the son of Yoash, came into power in Yehuda. And again, this, remember that the years of Yoash ben Yehoahaz are measured in a strange way, because we measured them earlier, even during the lifetime. At least that was the Malbim's approach and other Mefarshim's approach. We measured it during the lifetime also of Yoahaz. Amatziah comes to power after Yoash is murdered, remember, by the offspring of Ammon and Moab, because of his loss of ability to express what it was that Yoyada Kohen had given him, so that he started off as a yenuka and ends up never being able to grow up. So now he's a rebellious teenager, essentially. His son, Amatziah, followed in his footsteps in a strange way by also having two separate parts of his life that were completely at variance with each other, in which he began his life acting as his father, Yoash, had acted initially as Yoyada Kohen was teaching him, said he was a tzaddik. And the second part of his life also followed his father in turning against the mitzvah Hashem, just as his father had. So he was 25 years old, ben esrim v'chamesh shana haya b'malcho, and he was king for esrim v'teisha shana malach b'Yerushalayim, v'shem imo Yehoadan min Yerushalayim. His mother was Hashuva. She came from Yerushalayim, was a gvira in Yerushalayim. Vayas hayashar b'enei Adonai, rak lo k'David aviv. So in other words, he was a tzaddik, the way Yoash was. They never were able to deal with the bamot. This was only dealt with later. Rak ha-bamot osaru, od ha-am, mizabbechin, umekaterim, ba-bamot. So they continued to be over on the iser of bringing kachim b'chutz. Vayik asher chaska ha-mamlacha b'yado. And as he felt confident enough to take over the malchut, he went to punish those who had murdered his father and who had put him into power. And the truth is that as a melech, he had the right to be done with the din of a melech. The din of a melech can be done even the children. Even Shalokadin Teirim, just like we find Shaul did, by Nov Irakoani, didn't have recourse to Beit Din. So in Beit Din, obviously, it's absurd to talk about avenging families. But as a melech, he could have. However, he was machmer on himself to deal with this entire thing, bedine Beit Din, and not bedine as a melech, which shows his tzidkus. That bnei hamakim lo himit, he did not kill the children of those who had murdered his father. Kakatuv b'sefer Torat Moshe, asher tziva Adonai lemor, lo yumtu avot abanim. It says there, a man is not to be killed for the sin of his fathers, but rather for his own sin. Now, what's interesting is that the Medrash sees this, the reference to Sefer Torah Moshe Asher Tziva Hashem. What do you mean Sefer Torah? It says in the Torah that there must have been an original dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Because originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Poked Avon Avot Abanim. So Poked Avon Avot Abanim seems to say exact opposite of this. That Mina Shamayim, a child, is punished for the father's sin. Right? That's what it says. If he's machzik the chet of his father in his hand, so then he is nenash. Meshur Rabbeinu argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said, what are you going to say in a year? Terach is a big Ovid of the Zora. Avram Avinu is a tzaddik. Chizkio is a tzaddik. Ochaz was a rosha. I mean, how could you say you're going to punish? Is that a right thing to do? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very good. I'll tell you what. We'll be kaveya that as the halacha, obviously. Kaveya that as the halacha in Bezdin. And not only that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, it's going to be said over in your name. Where is that? Here in our Torah. Kakatub, the Sefer Torah, Moshe, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Moshe in saying, Lo Yom Tu Avot Abanim, Ubanim Lo Yom Tu Al Avot. So this sort of closes the circle. It's not stam that we can ask, doesn't it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avon Avot Abanim, but on the contrary, this is the makor of the entire original discussion that distinguishes these dinim. And here it was the issue, because Be'etzem HaMelech has the right to be done like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done. It could be poked Avon Avot Abanim. Therefore, it's Bedavka saying that he was machmir, that he didn't want to make it seem like it was a personal issue, and he donned it. Kedinei Sanhedrin is very beautiful. Dear, the way the Medrash sees it. The whole thing goes back to the original distinction. Now, at that point, he's very successful. Hu hika et Edom b'gei melach, aseret alafim, v'tafas et asela b'milchama, v'yikra et shema yokte'el, ad hayom hazeh. Now, he attacked Edom in gei melach. Gei melach, of course, that was exactly the place where Yoav had originally defeated Edom. And he went back. Remember that Edom had rebelled against Yisrael. This has already taken place Doros before. And it's interesting, in exactly the same way that we see that the Rishoyim, or I don't know, we want to call them the Rishoyim, they were all Rishoyim perhaps, but at the end of the line, after Achav and the Omri Malchus, where they had declined and had been completely destroyed by Yechazael and Ben-Hadad, and all of a sudden we have this 50-year renaissance, which things are given back to them and we're able to recapture the cities. In a sense, the same thing happens over here. Because, look, we're talking about, this was during the days of Yehoram, that it says that the Edomites had rebelled, right? That's already talking about the father of the father of the father of the father that we're referring to over here, right? So it's great-great-grandfather. And he now, at the end, which you think this is the lowest tzkufa, he also, in Yehuda, there's the same parallel, having reached the end of the line, all of a sudden, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the power to defeat Edom again. So he's feeling very good about himself. He destroys now Aseret Alafim, and he takes over the rock, meaning it must have been a tremendous fortress there. And as you know, there is one place that is called the rock, till today, in Edom, Petra. Petra means Sela. So, I mean, it's a very striking rock. There are many who learn that that's what it's referring to over here. That is the rock. That's Petra. So that this was an extremely meaningful thing to him. And he gave it the name Yokte'el. I've not been able to find anybody. I mean, the Mefarshim point out this must have been a very meaningful name to him for some reason, but we... Moshe Rabbeinu was called Yekutiel in the Rayamim, so the Gemara explains that Yekutiel comes from the notion of tikva, so that it's hope. In his days, Yisrael was Mikavel La'el. It could be that this is also the same Lashon. We find cities that were called Kutiel. We don't here in Malachim know about this, but when we take a look, what was going on at the time was astounding what was happening. He made a census. And he discovered that he had over 300,000 soldiers of Yehuda. He felt that wasn't enough, and he hired as mercenaries from Yisrael 100,000 soldiers. Now, what happens is that his brother, this is Amatzia, Amatzia is the uncle of Yeshayo Hanavi, who is Yeshayo ben Amoz. The Gemara learns out that Amoz and Amatzia were brothers. An unidentified Navi, who Chazal say was Amoz, his brother. So his brother comes, his brother tells him, as Nevius, you cannot have anything to do with Bnei Yisrael. So in other words, it turns out that the breakdown in the relationship between the two is continuing, because early on, remember, that the Navi was also very angry, and Taina to Yehoshaphat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu parates at Ma'asecha, because you keep getting together with these Rishayim. You should know you're not going to be successful with these Rishayim. You're not going to be successful. So you have 100,000 men. You go with 100,000 men, you're going to end up being Nichsha against Edom. If you get rid of the 100,000 men, then you're going to end up being Matsuya. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only the one who is Matsil, he's also the one who's Machshil. So it could be that when he was Zoch, and then so he says to him, and what do I do with the Kikar Kesef that I already spent in hiring these guys? That's very interesting conversation. So Amos tells him, by the way, he can also get you money. He says, all right, fine. So he sends these guys back. Right? He sends these guys back. Now, the truth is, so that could be why he sent Yoktael in both senses. It was Mekayim. Mekabel on himself, that it's not just that it's the Nitzoche, but it's also the protection. It's both the Kishalon and the victory that comes from HaKadosh Baruch. But what happens is, again, all of this is behind the scenes in our parish. What happens is that Amoz tells him that HaKadosh Baruch has rejected Ephraim, so that when he sends them back home, I'll be the Navi, they are furious. You've been paid. That's not the point. Well, we're not royal to fight. That's unbelievable. So in other words, what happens over here is a slap in the face to 100,000 soldiers of Yisrael. He goes and fights now the people from Edom, and they decide, well, if we're not going to fight, there's always other people to fight. They turn against his cities, and they cause mass destruction across the whole country. He's got these 100,000 mercenaries who are now turned against him. It was a horrible situation. So this actually, the fact that he needed to reject them, and in a sense that was a milah, the first time that we find that there's a clear differentiation now between what is Yehuda and what is Yisrael. You're not meant to be similar to each other. Because fascinatingly, the more the two malchus are stressing the keach of the malchus, the more similar they are, in the sense the more complementary they are. And that was the thought all along of Yehoshaphat, that he would be able to go together with even the worst of Malchei Yisrael, intermarrying with each other and being machazik each other, because the vision of Malchei Yisrael when added to the bris of the Makom HaMikdash and so on, was that you had essentially both elements that were being acted upon separately, exactly as you had at the time of Yaakov Avinu. So you had Yehuda and his group that were committed to their approach, which was insular and in terms of Avedas Hashem and so on. And then you had Yosef, Ephraim, that had gone out, basically secular development, was very happy at having forgotten Nashani Elokim et Kol Beit Avi, and developed in a totally different direction, which Yaakov Avinu gave his smicha to when he gave a special bracha, davka, to the children that had been born before I got him. So that this was viewed as a very, very important piece of the development of Yisrael. As they decline, so then paradoxically, the differences become more dramatic because they're no longer complementary. They're too small to be complementary. Since they're not complementary, for the first time, they actually are warned up front. Don't attempt to do things together. You no longer complement each other. Amazing. And all of this is brought up in the Reayon. Next pasuk in Melachim is Az Shalach Amatzia Melachim al Yoash ben Yehoahaz ben Yehu Melach Yisrael Emor Lecha Nitra'e Panim. So this was a challenge. In other words, he viewed the actions of those 100,000 mercenaries as having been done with government approval, which meant that the government of Yisrael was responsible for the attack against Yehuda, and therefore he says, I challenge you. Lecha Nitra'e Panim is I challenge you. I challenge you to battle. Vayishlach Yoash, Melech Yisrael, El Amatziah Melech Yehuda Leimor. So he sent him back a letter. Hachoach Asher Balavanon, the thorn bush in the Lebanon. Shalach Ela Erez, Asher Balabadon.
The Erez is the most amazing, it's a tremendous, the cedars of Lebanon. I mean, these are trees that grow to a height of 30 meters. They're 10 meters thick. I mean, these are in circumference. I mean, these are gigantic trees. So what he's saying is, you know, the Choach has nothing to do with Lebanon and the Pashtus. You know, what he must have been saying is that the Lebanon, which is always a remnant of Beis HaMikdash, you have rejected us from having anything. So I'm just telling you. You know, both of us are drawing our strength from the same Lebanon. The only difference between us is that you're a thorn bush, and you're writing a letter to me as an Eretz. And you're saying, Tzna et bitcha livni le'isha. I don't, you know what? You're talking about going to war. You could have asked for my son in marriage, or my daughter in marriage, and it would have been as absurd as this. And as a matter of fact, it's beautiful, because the Medrash relates the Choach and the Erez over here to the letter that Hamor of Shechem wrote to Yaakov Avinu. Because Shechem is Kotzim, compared to Tzadikim, that are called Arazim, right? Keres Balvanon Yizkeh. Who's that? Tzadik HaTomer Yifrach. The Kotzim are always considered to be Chochim, that are going to be destroyed. So what was the Bakasha of the Kotz at that time from Yaakov? Give me Dina for my son. So this is a remez all the way back. And of course, as I just pointed out to you, the deepest aspect of the remez is that that was the moment of the split between the approach of Yehuda and the approach of Yosef. So that the whole Maisa with Shechem and then the Kana'ut of Shechem was the breakdown of Yaakov with the two sets of children, which now, beautifully, Yehoahaz over here, Yehoash ben Yehoahaz, he sees what it was that Amatya had done, and that Amatya was saying was a regression to that moment in which there was a breakdown in the family. And he's saying, you know, even had you asked for your daughter, my daughter, for your son, you know what happened when something like that happened? Vatavor chayata sadeh asher balvanon vatirmos tachoach. They don't even notice. The wild animals just walk around and crush the thorns, so that the chutzpah, your nonsense, you want to face me in war, you've lost your mind. Because I can't get at Edom, so now you think you're something special, because you sent away my soldiers, and now you managed to kill 10,000 soldiers in Edom. So now the arrogance, suddenly, now you're a big shot. If you're smart, he kaved, watch out for your own benefit, for your own honor. V'shev b'beitecha, and keep yourself at tzanua. Lomatit gareh b'ra'ah. Believe me, all you're doing is starting up with evil. And what's going to happen is, v'nafalta atav yudah imah. You and your entire people are going to fall in war. You're out of your mind. Now, the missing information in our parak about what had happened with Amatya. Remember that Amatya was called the one who followed Hayashar b'nei Hashem, exactly the way that his father had been. The problem is, of course, that his father had two periods in his life. One period in which he did everything right, so long as Yehoyada HaKohen was keeping him in line. The second period of his life, he ends up murdering the son of Yehoyada HaKohen. Okay, so comes along now Amatya, and he's been just like his father, and he avenges now the death of his father with those now who had come to kill his father. Those who had killed his father in Divrei HaYomim, we're told, had killed his father to avenge the death of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. So therefore, what we had was, on the simple level, the murder because of the fact that he had no Hakarat Tovah, and therefore Ammon and Moab, who had no Hakarat Tovah, were the ones who murdered him, which we saw as part of the whole breakdown of Malchut Beit David, where the whole problem of Bnei Lot was the pain of Hakarat Tovah. We would expect that if the Torah says that Amatya followed his father's footsteps and was just as good as his father was, and he was Hayashar Bnei Hashem of Kasher Kechol Asher Asah Yoash Aviv. Kechol Asher Asah is an awfully scary word. Everything that his dad did, well, sure enough, what did you know? Everything that his dad did, indeed. And this is in every way imaginable. Because amazingly, what happens is that after he goes to destroy Edom, and that's his big, big victory in life. Big victory in life is that now he is Mr. Big Shot, as Lamaisa the Melech Yisrael points out to him. Oh, so now you're the Big Shot, because you managed to get back your grandfather's father's people that were lost from Edom. So the whole idea is here, he's looking now to build himself up. Amazingly, in the Re'ayamim, he comes back with the gods of the Bnei Edom, sets them up in Yerushalayim, and now he's bringing Karbonos to Edomite gods that he just defeated. So his brother Amoz, who is the father of Yeshayahu HaNavi, gets up and tells him, B'dvar Hashem, that how could you do such a thing? You'd have to immediately stop this, because if not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to blow you away. Okay? So listen to what Amatzah tells him. First thing that Amatzah told him was, you cannot have these 100,000 members of the army from Yisrael participating with you. And when he responds to Amoz, he says, what do I do about all the money that I paid? So Amoz doesn't, again, I mean, this sounds like an idiot. What do you do with all the money? Because your brother's telling you these guys are going to wreck the whole affair. So don't worry, God can give you money. Okay, so the daddy's misgabron, you understand? He sends them all away, and they go back home, and they're furious, and this ends up becoming now the reason why they take revenge against him, and they blow up all the cities of Yehuda, while he's going away and fighting the Edomites. Okay, but the next time now, Amoz gets up, and he warns them, Loma darashta tolayama, asher lo yitzilot ama miyotcha. What are you, crazy? You're going to go now worship the gods that were unable to save their people from you. So now you're going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave you that atzlacha, that you worship these other gods. I mean, that's mad. This is basically Orpah. You're turning your back because, I mean, you need to prove your independence. So now that you're the big shot, you have to be your own big shot, exactly the way your father was. So now Yehoyada's gone. So now you're going to murder his son. Perfectly. He turns to his brother and he says, excuse me, little bro, but did I ever appoint you to be the official Yoetz over here? Hala Yoetz the Melech Netanuch? I appointed you to be my advisor. I would advise you to shut up before I murder you on the spot. So in other words, here he is, doing exactly the same thing that Yoash did to Zechariah ben Yehoyada. It's an unbelievable story. Okay, so Amoz shuts up. Vayomer, and he says, okay, but now I know, Yadati ki ya'atz Elohim la'ashchitech, and I know it's all over with you. Because the very fact, ki asita zot v'lo shamata la'atzati, I never asked to be your advisor, but now, unfortunately, it's clear that you are dead duck. It's after that that he now attempts to engage the Melech Yisrael in battle. So now he's going to prove himself in battle. Okay, and this is where we're up to. This little back and forth discussion, this childish discussion of the competitiveness now in this breakdown between the Melachim. So after we reach the point at which the Gidorim of Malchut have broken down, both Gidrei Malchut in Yisrael and in Yehuda, they now compete with each other as to who's the bigger ass. And in that competition, remarkably, each one ends up against their will, putting the other one in their place. So what was previously an interaction in which there was a complementary relationship continues. It's still a complementary relationship. But now it's a complementary relationship that is driven by absurd competition rather than by a recognition underlying it all that we are all, after all, part of the ultimate achievement of Yehuda v'Yisrael. As we say every day in the introduction to the Shemoneh Esrei, Kinu Umecha Yehuda v'Yisrael, Goaleinu Hashem Tzvot. So that was always underlying it. But remarkably, there's a medrash that addresses one of the events of Gei Melach that is left out of here completely. And that event is just as important in recognizing what goes wrong in Amatzia as the way that he treats Amoz and as the way that he goes to worship the Elohei HaAdomim. Remember that the whole story was introduced with what a big tzaddik he is. He, yes, Amatzia, he's not going to use the din of the Melech to kill the kids of the ones that had killed his father for the killing of the kids of Yehoyada. The whole thing has to do with the relationship of Av and Bein. Okay, so he's presenting himself now as this great tzaddik. He's the guy, after all, it says in Torat Moshe, and this becomes out of place, whereas we pointed out, the Medrash brings out, this was the whole communication between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it Pokeh Avon Avot Abanim or not? And here's where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Zochem and Machlokes. There shouldn't be Pokeh Avon Avot Abanim. The very next thing that happens is that this great and moral king comes to Gei Melach There it says he kills 10,000 of the soldiers of Edom. But in Divrei Hayomim it says he captured the 10,000 soldiers of Edom, takes them up to the rock in Petra, and throws them all off of the rock, smashing them. Beautiful, humane, moral. Exactly what the Torah prescribes. So there's a fantastic medrash in Eicha that says that the golus was caused by that. And it darshan's the pasuk. The pasuk in Mishlei says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch says, Ish Chacham Nishpat et Ish Iver Avil. You can have a wise man who tries to deal with an ass. Doesn't matter what you do. Ragaz, Tzachak. You could be angry. You could smile. Whatever you try, Ve'ein Nachat. You never get any Nachat out of these people. Says HaKadosh Baruch, I've tried everything. I've been mean to them. I've been nice to them. I smile at them. But it makes no difference. It just never makes a difference. Tzachakti Alechem b'mei Amatzia. Look, I give you. Amatzia deserved to be able to be Mazir Edom. I give him Edom. As it says, Amatzia Yitchazek. And he goes to Gei Melach. Great. What does he do? He has 10,000. He brings them Chaim. And then what does it say? Vayivim l'rosh ha-sela. He brings them up to the top of the stone. Vayashlichum. He throws them off of the stone. And they all burst open. Kulam nifka'u. Great. Let's watch another one. Fantastic. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's somewhere in the Torah where I said to do that? Show me somewhere in the Torah. I said that there's a misa ever of B'nai Noyach. You'll say, maybe similar to Skila, Lo gazarte mital of B'nai Noyach al-Becheref. Vayivim l'rosh ha-sela v'yashlichum v'kula nifka'u. Im nacha. Bota sha'at, at that hour. It's an amazing language. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma elu osim kam? What the hell are these guys doing in my land? Yigalu, get them out of here. So this now becomes the mocker of the golos. Yitfil yirmiyo mikonen aliyam eicha is all part of the p'ticha, the akdama, the eicha. So in other words, what had been presented to us as an amatzia who has things worked out to do things al pi Torah is a bunch of bull. The whole, the entire thing was the moment that he was able to express his own grandeur. This comes at, this is the turning point. So now he's not going to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll bring up the, if anything, I want to show exactly the opposite. Exactly what Orpah does. He's about to go with Rut. Now we're going to dedicate our life to destroying Rut. You're going up to do Ayosher B'nei Hashem. Maybe it's the gods of Edom that actually were dissatisfied with Edom, you know. We'll worship them. Because after all, they gave me this great victory. But it's just unbelievable. So here, in every way, he is his father's child. With the lack of hakarat tufa, with the phoniness in which he's just controlled by the situation. Moment that the situation changes, he immediately is thrown off track, does exactly the opposite. And when it says, kechol asher asa Yoash Avi, even to the point of killing the son of Yoyada, he's willing to kill the Navi too. You know, so he says to him, you know, if you don't shut up, I mean, what do you want to get yourself killed for? It's an astounding thing. This is his own brother. We're talking about a situation here on both sides of the wall of the Malchut of Yisrael and Yehuda, in which families are murdering each other, killing out brothers in order to avoid the succession. I mean, it's just insane. So yeah, we have reached complete and total collapse of the psychology of Malchut, of the vision of Malchut, of the humanity of Malchut, of the relationships of Malchut, until it's finally reduced to, in the smallest terms, to the stupidities of the competitiveness between the two Mamlachot. Absolute disaster that no one would have dreamt we could have reached a point like it. And so, V'lo shama Amatzia, Pasuk Yudal. And Amatzia didn't listen to the words of the letter that Yoash sent him about, what do you need to do this to yourself for, you fool? And in Divrei Hayamim, he uses the word, here it says, Hikaved. You'd be doing yourself, if you act b'tzniut, over there it says, you're doing this in order to gain more honor? After doing, you don't have enough. You've proven your little victory over Edom. So now you need more. So now you're going to prove that you're stronger than I am. Now you're going to reintegrate the Malchut under the wise and compassionate Malchut of Amatzia. Don't do this to yourself. I hate to do it to you. V'lo shama Amatzia. Oh no, he doesn't listen. V'yal Yoash Melech Yisrael. V'yitra'u panim. Oh yeah. They faced each other down. Huva Matzia Melech Yehuda. And where did they face each other? You think he waited for them to go and to fight him? He invaded Yehuda. The Beit Shemesh, Asher Yehuda. They wait for him to come to him. Vayinagef Yehuda lifnei Yisrael, completely defeated. Vayanusu Ishla Ola, each one runs away from the field. Veita Matzia Melech Yehuda ben Yoash ben Achaziahu. Tafas Yoash Melech Yisrael Bebet Shamash. Not only that, but the great Amatzia was actually captured by Yoash in Beit Shemesh, dragged to Yerushalayim with his soldiers. Yerushalayim. So Yoash takes his army, goes to Yerushalayim, says, this is why you're the big shot, Yerushalayim. Vayifrotz b'chomat Yerushalayim, b'shar Ephraim at shar ha'pina, arba meot amay, tears down the wall of Yerushalayim, 400 amot of the wall of Yerushalayim, just to make the point. Yoash was here. So if you're thinking about being the great king of Yerushalayim, think again. ולקח את כל הזהב והכסף ואת כל הכלים הנמצאים בית אדוני ובאוצרות בית המלך. He takes now all of the silver, the gold, all of the vessels that were in the Beis HaMikdash, all of the things that the Beit HaMelech had, ve'et b'nei ha-ta'aruvot, and he also takes along the children that were being, now some of this means the children that were being kept now by Amatzia to assure the loyalty to Amatzia he takes, which some of the Mepharshim point out is ridiculous. We don't find him being willing to start up with everybody. Why would he take the b'nei ha-ta'aruvot? What he did was he took the standard B'nai Taruvot from Amatzia to himself to assure future loyalty to himself. So he didn't want Amatzia now being king again. And drags them all back to Shomron. Vayashav Shomrona. And now you can be the little king. How do you like that? Rather take over. You be the little king. V'yeter divrei Yoash asher asah ugvuratov asher nilcham im Amatzia melech Yehuda. Alohim kituvim ha-sefer divrei ha-yamim l'malchei Yisrael. So remarkably, Yoash dies right after this war as a result of his attack against Yerushalayim. Vayishkav Yoash im avotav. Vayikaver b'shomron im malchei Yisrael. And he's buried there back in Shomron, and Yerav'am ben Yoash, vayimloch Yerav'am benot tachtav. A lovely name to give to the closing of the dynasty. So we should all remember where we came from in the great Gvura of Yerav. Yerav'am ben Nevat. Now we have Yerav'am the second, Yerav'am ben Yehoash. But meanwhile, Amatzia lives on. Vayechi Amatzia ben Yehoash melech Yehuda, acharei mot Yehoash ben Yehoachaz melech Yisrael. Chameshes reshana. He lives on for 15 years, but, oh, he was the little king, all right. As a matter of fact, we see in the Rei HaYamin, they wanted to kill him then for being such an idiot. So his arm tried to kill him. I thought, well, I mean, he did all of this for no reason. Destroyed Yerushalayim. Everything that they had built up was now taken by Yisrael. They looked like total idiots. They've had half of their cities knocked out because the 100,000 of Yisrael had attacked them Bichlal from before. So he had to run away to Lachish, a fortress, for those 15 years. These 15 years are not really counted in his malchut, despite the fact that he lived, as we'll see. So he was in Lachish for 15 years, until finally they get him. Oh, they get him in the end. So, okay, but that's all because, and it says Befresh Divrei Yomim, from the time he was Mashchit as Ma'asim, they always wanted to get him. And so he hides now in Lachish, and meanwhile, he lives Chamesh Esrei Shana. Vayeter divrei Amatzia lo'im k'tuvim al-sefer divrei ha-yamim l'malchei Yehuda. You can get the rest of the ugly information if you want it. Vayikshiru alav kesher b'Yerushalayim v'yonos l'chisha. And so they attempted now, they created a rebellion, a revolution. And it says, ki ya'atz Hashem l'hashchitecha. And it says, refresh over there, that's what Amoz told him. This is all part of your downfall. The very fact that you began the war with Yehuda, Is the downfall with Yisrael is the downfall of what it is that you did with the Elohei Adon. Now I know. Ki atzah Hashem l'ashchitecha. And then indeed, that's what happens. So he runs away. Vayitru alav kesher b'Yerushalayim v'yonas l'chisha. He goes now, runs away to Lachish. That's where he was, again, for 15 years. That comes out later. Lachish is a fortress. It's close to the Plishta, but it was one of the major fortresses. Vayishlachu acharav Lachisha, and they ultimately get him again. Here, everything is just squished together because we're only interested in seeing the main issues. The main issues are how he was reduced to competition, to turning his back on everything. That's what concerns us in terms of the degradation, the degeneration. We said this whole book is about the deconstruction of Malchut and how we view what happens as we pull each plug out, whatever elements are in there. We keep pulling out the plugs that kept things moving and watch, almost as a laboratory rat, to see what happens to them. And so they bring him back to Yerushalayim. Vayikaver b'Yerushalayim im avotav b'ir David. Vayikhu kol am Yehuda et Azariah, who ben sheish esrei shana. All of them choose Azariah. Now Azariah, in history, in the Rei Yomim, always goes by the name of Uzziah. we're very familiar with the things that the great King Uzziah did. He has three names, actually, as Chazal point out. He's sometimes referred to as Azariah, sometimes as Uzziah, and sometimes as Zechariah, for different elements of his personality. He was 16 years old, and they make him king, but note in the next pasuk that this does not mean what it appears to mean. Hu bana et Eilat v'yishivel Yehuda. He got Eilat back to Yehuda. It used to be the Bnei Edom had apparently taken Eilat at the time of the rebellion, when they rebelled against now his great-great-great-great-grandfather. And he got it back. Uzio got it back. Acharei shchava melachim avotav. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Obviously, he got it back after the king had died. He wasn't king until after the king had died. So clearly, that pasuk is telling us that when his father had now run away to Lachish, so he had run away from a rebellion. The people back in Yerushalayim appointed at that time Uzziah to be king. So during those 15 years, he was king while his father was still living. And in fact, as Rashi points out, if you don't subtract that 15 years from the history, you end up with the Beit HaMikdash surviving 425 years. If you add up the Shnot HaMalachim without subtracting 15 years in Lachish as part of Uzziah's in Malchut, you end up with 425 years when, in fact, the Beit HaMikdash Rishon, we know, only survived 410 years. Because of those 15 years, and that's what the Pasuk is being meramis to you, when it says he only got a lot back after his father died. So that Bishnat 15 Shana, La Amatzia ben Yoash Melach Yehuda, was in the 15th year now of Amatzia. Malach Yirav Am ben Yoash, Melach Yisrael Bishamron. It was then that Yirav Am became king. Arba'im V'achat Shana. For 41 years he was king. And despite the fact that Vayas Arabe Ne Adonai, he did the bad in the eyes of God. Lo sar mikal b'kol chatot Yeravam ben Nevat, as his name implied, he was no different than the original Yeravam in not having turned away from what he had done. Asher echati et Yisrael. And then astoundingly, the next pasuk, Hu heishiv et gvul Yisrael milavol chamat ad yam ha'aravah. It's absolutely amazing. He was able to restore the gvul of Yisrael from Aram in a way that restored the original grandeur of Eretz Yisrael, all the way from Lavo Chamat, all the way in the north, down to the Yam Arava, which was the original borders. This is the Dead Sea. This is the guy who did everything wrong, exactly what you'd expect to find, and therefore God gave him the entire country, and he was able to restore everything. Asher dikidvar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, just as God had said would happen. Asher diber biyad avdo Yonah ben Amitai, who had said that this would happen in through his servant Yonah ben Amitai Navi, Asher migat chefer. Now, this Yonah ben Amitai, of course, he was the one that had done the actual Mashiach of Yehu. And he had told Yehu at that time, there will be four generations, B'nai Reveim, will be Yashvu Lecha. How does he get involved in this? Was this a Nevi'ut that we never heard of? And that just, you should know, there was such a Nevi'ut. So there's a whole machloket over here, because Lamaisa, it says when it comes to the din of, the pasuk of Navi, so it says, Shenit, Asher Dibir. Elsewhere it says that Vaydaber Hashem al Yonah Shenit. From there we darshan Shenit v'lo Shlishit. There are only two discussions with Yonah ben Amittai. So where did this come from? There's a machloket. Maybe it means in that inin. So in other words, that he spoke to him about the issue of Iskei Ninveh only that other time, and not any other discussions, just to give him that Musa. But that doesn't mean that there weren't other discussions after that. But others learn that, no, the point of the pasuk is, you know, when it came to worrying about the covet of the ben, so now you don't want to be made my words against Ninveh, because I'm going to get angry with Bnei Yisrael, because they're going to do teshuva. So that you're all upset about. That you worry about. But for me, that you don't worry about, right? You worry more about the children than about my covet. This is Yonah in the story of Yonah ben Amittai. It was supposed to be judged. So this was a rejection of because of what he did in Ninveh. It says, Shenit, and I don't want to talk to you again. I never want to talk to you again. So then what is the reference here? Kashenibir biyad Yonah ben Amittai. According to that man diyamar, what it means is, in the same way that Yonah ben Amittai's Nevi'ahs was mitapech for Ninveh, from Ra'a l'tova, so too the Gezerah against Yeravam was mitapech mira'a l'tova. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up. Ki Ra'a Adonai et Oni Yisrael, more mod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it's hopeless. It's basically hopeless. It doesn't matter what you do, as we saw. There's no way to teach them. There's no way to get a reaction out of them. So what are you going to do? Keep hitting them over the head? For what? For what? I'm not ready to get rid of them. There's still maybe some chance in the interaction between the two Malchus. So it's Moreh Ma'od. Moreh Ma'od could mean a Lashon of Mamrim. Because it's just totally rebellious. So what's the point? You can't deal with people that are just totally rebellious and expect them to say, now you're going to say, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You're going to teach me a lesson. The more you teach me a lesson, the more you unteach me a lesson. That's like the halacha. You're not supposed to beat. But no, what's the point of beating him? What's to change your back? Because that's exactly what's been happening over here. The point of all of these things is to try to be Ma'aseh L'Tayva. So since he sees that Moreh Ma'od, or Moreh could mean Morat Ruach, it was nothing but pain. Dealing with these kids is nothing but a pain. And what's the point? Just give them whatever the heck they want. And so Memela, this was the last expression of hope. V'Ephes Azuv. There's like, there's nobody in charge, basically. There's nobody that is helped. V'in Ozer L'Yisrael. Is there somebody to talk to? Somebody can do anything? There's nothing to do. When there's nothing to do, you might as well just... Either you're ready to destroy them. If you're not ready to destroy them, give them what they want. He wasn't ready to throw them out completely. Wipe them out from under the face of the sky. And because of that, okay, so let Yeravam ben Yoash be the great savior. Right here. That's where we're at. It's exactly where we're at. You get to a point of Ephes Atzur, of Ephes Azur, and there's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to talk to. The Yeter Divrei Yeravam. Now, the things that Yeravam did, V'chol Asher Asah, U'gvurato, Asher Nilcham, V'Asher Eshiv, Et HaMesek, V'Et Hamat. Now, he even went ahead and he fought to get back Damascus. Remember that David had been Kovesh, Aram Narayim, and Aram Tzova. That includes Damascus. So he goes back now, he retakes Damascus, brings them back, Le'Yehuda. What? Brings them back, Le'Yehuda. And then it says, Le'Yehuda b'Yisrael. What is that supposed to mean, Le'Yehuda b'Yisrael? So Malbim learns Le'Yehuda b'Yisrael means that after the attack of Yoash against Yehuda and the breaking of the wall in Yerushalayim, from that point on, Yehuda was essentially a province of Malchut Yisrael. That's one approach. The other approach is that the Radak's approach is that basically Yeravam had the vision still sufficiently to recognize that in giving back to Yehuda, ultimately it's giving back to Yisrael as a whole. He didn't really care. It wasn't the point of his lording it over Damascus. He couldn't care less. Because remember that whatever it is that drove Malchai Yisrael, it was always the glory of Klal Yisrael. So to whatever extent that still mattered to him. And here we see the competitiveness. The fact is that if you think about it, both pshatim are true. Since they were no longer competitors because he had taught them that lesson, he could now afford to still be the man that leads Malchut Yisrael. So that it was in the defeat of Amatzia that there's a reconstruction, to some extent, of Malchut Yisrael. So we talked about the complementary nature, in which initially they complemented each other by each one addressing the lacks in the other. You see the respect that they had for Yehoshaphat when they brought him down. I mean, it wasn't that the army was so important. It was the moral standards of Yehoshaphat that was so important. You see that so clearly in the interaction with Achab and Yehoshaphat in those wars. Here it's the exact opposite. It's the fact that we've reduced everything to this meaninglessness of the little king. So since it's a little king, big king Yeravam can afford to be magnanimous. So if I'm going to go now and prove my grandeur by taking back the Masa and the Aram Tzova and so on, give him back to Yehuda. It's all part of greater Yisrael anyway. Whether we literally view Yehuda as an aparchia, as a province now of Yisrael or not, the way the Malbim is expressing it, it's still the entirety of the underlying issues here are clear. But what's also clear in terms of world history is that we are entering a chaotic period because, in fact, the two kings are being left to their own ridiculous devices here, in a sense. Because remember that this is the period in which Ashur is becoming very strong, threatening Aram all the way on their northern side, on their eastern side. So they no longer are capable of focusing in any way on what's happening among the Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yehuda. The two of them are involved in each other at this stage, as we see from all of the things that we find. So that, meanwhile, the outer provinces get away with whatever they're doing, whether it's in terms of Ammon, Moab, Edom, all of these. It's a crazy time. Yudei Moab coming around, Edom being defeated, Aram being defeated on this side, Yud and Yisrael fighting with each other, families wiping each other out. If you think Ynet today is a horrible thing to read, just imagine what it was in those days. So it's complete chaos. So, okay, this was a period in which, as a last gasp before the Malchiot, that were going to become world powers, have worked out their own business, which ends up destroying Yisrael completely, which it's possible. As we often find, Lifnei Shever Gaon, before the final break, comes a period of flourishing, even in the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you those 7 days, just so that you can know what you lost, what you could have had. This is what you could have had. So all of that. Haloim kituvim al sefer divrei hayamim lemalchei Yisrael. Vayishkav Yeravam im avotav v'malchei Yisrael. And so he died with the other malachim. Vayimloch Zechariah benot Tachtav, and his son Zechariah becomes king in his place.